Call to order the Simpsonville City Council Committee of the Whole for March the 22nd, 2022. City Clerk Wong, please call the roll.
Councilmember Gooch. Councilmember Root. Councilmember Houlihan.
Here.
Councilmember Rochette.
Here.
Councilmember Cummings. Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Schumaker.
Here. Okay, if you would all please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, each member of council will have received a copy of the minutes for our February 22nd Committee of the Whole. Are there any corrections or changes to the minutes? Hearing none, they will stand approved as written. We didn't have anyone sign up for citizen comments, so we'll go straight to staff reports, starting with our Director of Finance, Christine Farina. Director Farina.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few highlights from the February financial report. General fund revenues for February were just under $2.7 million. Revenues collected year-to-date are $14.1 million, with, that brings us to 69% of the budget. Expenses for February were $1.2 million. Year-to-date expenses were $12 million, which is 59% of the budget. Sewer fund revenues for February were $191,000. Year-to-date is $1.6 million. And that brings us to 76% of the budget. February expenses for the sewer fund were $44,000. Year-to-date expenses were $517,000, which is 48% of the budget. The hospitality and accommodations fund revenues for February were $229,000. Year-to-date revenues are $1.7 million, which is 73% of the budget. February expenses were $104,000, which includes the transfers to the art center and renovation. Total expenses year-to-date are $1.7 million, which is 96% of the budget. Public Works Enterprise Fund revenues for February were $337,000. Year-to-date is $1.4 million, which is 102% of the budget. February expenses were $42,000. Year-to-date is $419,000, which is 37% of the budget. I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions? Councilmember Rochette.
Just had one question. Under the Public Works Enterprise Fund, the Carolina International Truck, $142,754.23. What was that for? What truck did we buy?
I'm not exactly sure which truck that was.
2021 International MV607.
Was that the tractor trailer?
That's Peterbilt. It may be the small wheeler we had.
I can get you that information. Any of these specifics, I can email.
And then, I don't know if this would be a budgetary question or one for Public Works, but the trash cans there, is that, are we done with that, at that number? Like, do we have enough for newcomers and stuff, or?
We actually, in the budget presentation, which we will do at next month's Committee of the Whole, you'll see a line item in there for purchasing more garbage cans. That will be to replenish the stock for other folks who decide they want a second can and also for all of the new construction happening.
Any other questions? All right, thank you, Director Farina. Next up is Economic Development from our Planning and Economic Development Director, Jason Knutson. Director Knutson.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. For last month, our permit numbers are looking as they normally do. As we're kind of coming into that warmer weather, I expect to see our revenues and our permits issued to start to climb as more construction goes underway. Site plan interview wise, one of the annexations that we did on Neely Ferry Road has had their plans approved. It's called Magnolia Glen Townhomes with 56 units that'll be going in there. The boards and commissions, Board of Zoning Appeals did not have any items on the agenda, so they did not meet. And the planning commission's sole item was to name the unknown road that came up a little while ago. E911 urged that get a name, and so the planning commission did change it from unknown road to Cuffner Court. Cuffner Textile used to be on that site, and so it was kind of homage to what used to be there. It's a lot harder to name a road than you think. Start thinking of things, and it's hard to do it. But if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer those.
Any questions for Director Knudsen? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next is our Community Relations Specialist report. Mr. Campbell.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The Simpsonville Simply Beautiful Cleanup Day is scheduled for April 23rd. That's the day after Earth Day. It's on Saturday from 9 to 11:30. In the past, we've had it from 8 to noon, but I think doing it 1 hour later and then moving it from 4 hours long to about 2.5 hours long would encourage more people to come out. And based on all of the cleanup days I've done, 2 to 3 hours is plenty of time to hit all the points we need to in the city. We'll be meeting at the shed, the newly renovated Tater Shed on Park Drive. And our partners are Palmetto Pride, Greenville County Litter Prevention, and our very own Parks and Rec and Public Works departments. Staff is revamping the Youth Advisory Board. In September 2018, Council passed a resolution establishing that board, the Simpsonville Youth Advisory Board. And its primary purpose will be to advise Council on issues that are important to Simpsonville youth. And it's important to note that once we have this board, they should treat themselves as seriously as a planning commission might, and that staff and council and the public should treat them as seriously as they would treat, you know, the Board of Zoning Appeals. Our next steps are to review the application that I created before the pandemic started. We were in the application process, and then the pandemic put that to a halt. Now that things are somewhat returning to normal in the classrooms, that's why we're picking this back up. I'll reach out to the Greenville County School District and work with local groups like Simpsonville Kiwanis to get the word out about people applying, students applying for this. And lastly, the Simpsonville Music Series and Food Truck Rodeo artist lineup will be announced by Friday, if not before. And finishing up social media promo materials on that, and finalizing graphics, and then the food truck lineup will be announced in April. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions? Councilmember Hutchings?
As far as the youth council goes, this was introduced, the motion was introduced in March of 2018 by Ms. Houlihan, and approved, and then the resolution was created in September, I believe, of that year. And nothing much has happened since then. And that was one reason why I brought this back to everyone's attention here recently. I just feel like we need to, when we pass a resolution, we need to act on them. What do you perceive as being the problem before getting any traction with this? And what can we do differently this time to, I know, as I mentioned to you, I'm going to present this to the Kiwanis Club at their next meeting and try to get some of the local community groups involved in helping us to bring forth candidates or whatever. But what do you see as something we can do to speed up the process?
So there are three things. The first, I think we're going to be fine with, and that was the pandemic. So I had already interviewed a couple of applicants, and then in January, February, and then March came, and then talked to Ms. Gracely, and at that time, I'm not sure if she remembers, but decided probably a good idea to hold off on doing the youth advisory board because we weren't sure where things are going. But now that the pandemic is waning and things are returning to normal, we can pursue that again. The second issue is it's not just gonna be students in Greenville and Simpsonville schools. You're gonna have to have students who live in city limits because the idea is that these individuals are representing people, students, young people in the city of Simpsonville. And so they're going to have to live in the city limits. And then the third is, as you probably know, teachers, staff, administrators at schools are very, very busy. They get a lot of emails, and in a practical sense, it's difficult to get their attention. And so part of reaching out to the Greenville County School District is, that's a big part of this, because if we can really get a couple of people from the district interested and on board and really believe in what we're doing, then we can make some inroads with those schools. I think this would be the only active student advisory board in the county. I had researched it. It seems like Greenville's, they had one, and then it kind of had fallen off the map. So those three things, two of those three things, I think we can tackle those as challenges.
One other thing, within the memorandum for the resolution, there were qualifications listed. Anyone attending a public or private school and having an interest in public service as a qualification. In the resolution, item three, says that the city administrator would develop established rules, guidelines, and qualifications to ensure the board fulfills its purpose and function. Did we ever establish a age requirement?
So we had looked at doing high school. Look at doing middle school and high school. Don't want the age range to be so great that the oldest person can't relate to the youngest person in the group. And so the idea is that who are those individuals, who are those students who are, you know, on the precipice of really starting their lives and really starting to make decisions about what they might want to do, and putting, you know, civic leadership in their minds, you know, just before they're going to college, I think could have an impact. It is a good question. You can make a case for having a mix of middle school and high school. I've read a lot, I've done a lot of reading about this, looked at a lot of different cities and towns, and there really is no guidebook, but if there were, the guidebook would be huge, because there you can take this anywhere. So it's something that staff can sit down and think about what age ranges we exactly want, and part of that, you know, has to be done before finishing the application. So all of those things, standards, who qualifies and who doesn't, will be created before we start the application process.
Could you come back to us and report on those qualifications as they develop, and so that we'll
yes, sir,
have a little better understanding? Another question I have is,
sure,
how many members will we have? Those kind of things. So.
That's another good question. So you could do one per ward, plus a corollary to the mayor, or you could do five. It's easier to find five students than it is to find seven students. Maybe you start out lower, and then in subsequent years you add. But I think being able, you know, doing less very well, having five students instead of seven students, and being able to get the board off the ground and the program off the ground and do it very well, we'll set a precedent for our future years. And then maybe we can have, you know, per council member, a student. But I'm thinking five, certainly no more than seven.
And do you think it's realistic to have an application ready by the 1st of April for this first meeting when we go to the public with this idea?
I certainly think it's possible, and I will definitely work on it. When is the next, what meeting would that be?
April 5th.
April 5th? Yes, sir. That is definitely possible.
Councilmember Roche?
I noticed that you said you were going to contact Greenville County School District, but if only local students, local youth will be participating, I think you can probably cut a lot of the back and forth out and just go straight to Hillcrest High School.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Bridger campus, go to the homeschool groups in the area, and I volunteer as tribute. I'd be happy to go talk to the students. It's as easy as narrowing it down to asking who's in charge of the political clubs, because they have clubs that meet at Hillcrest after hours. Those are going to be your focus groups right there, because they're already interested in the political process, and they probably have a lot to say. So I'd be happy to help you if you need that, if you need some help doing that.
Yes, I need help.
I'm here. I'll be happy to do it. As a former teacher for Greenville County Schools, it was one of my favorite subjects. I'd always work it into public speaking, so I'd be happy to help you with that. And I think, like I say, if we just talk to the principal, we'll get right where we need to go fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also very familiar with the homeschool groups in the area, and those kids do tend to be more politically minded and have very independent opinions about things. And I could definitely tap into those. So I'm happy to help you get this off the ground so you don't feel like you've got to come up with the whole thing on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So keep me in mind.
Will do. I'll send you an email tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And so we can set up a phone call or a meeting to go over next steps.
Okay, awesome.
That's very cool, yeah.
I'm going to switch topics. This was not in the report, but it should have been.
Sure. May I interrupt just one moment before we move off of that topic? Just one comment. I believe Fountain Inn High School might have students who are Simpsonville residents. You might just double check that. I don't know that for sure. Okay. Councilmember Goulian.
New topic.
Yes.
Not in report. Should have been in report, though. Last week was Sunshine Week in the great state of South Carolina, where we shine a light on the fact that we shine a light on public service through the Freedom of Information Act. And Mr. Campbell was actually featured by the Municipal Association in their article about Sunshine Week. And Simpsonville looked very, very good as he spoke on behalf of the city as our FOIA officer. And he talked about the importance of transparency in local government and how he and the city of Simpsonville believe in that beyond just the requirements of the law, but because we think that it's important to our democracy, to local government, to ensuring that the people, the public, the media have access to the work that we do. And so that was a really good shout out to the city of Simpsonville, and I appreciated getting to see that article and read it. You did a really fabulous job in the interview. So if you didn't get a chance to see it, you should really check it out, because it's one of many ways in which we have looked good lately in the public eye. And I think it's evidence of our continued efforts at transparency over the last several years. Again, not just because it's required by law, but in many, many ways over the last several years, we've increased transparency, certainly by handling FOIA requests in a very logical and timely fashion the way that we should, but also through the work that we've done with the website, with social media, with public meetings, and having more opportunities for citizen input. And so I think that that should have been in the report, although it wasn't, and I wanted to make sure to call attention to that for anyone who might have missed it.
Thank you, Councilmember.
You're here. Councilmember Roche.
So question about what Councilmember Houlihan just said. Was that on Discover Simpsonville? Did you toot your own horn?
I did not, but if
well,
you'd
toot
like
your
copy,
own horn,
my mother printed out several. but I can do it in such a way that puts a light on the city, and then I'd be happy to share it.
That's awesome. And don't be afraid to give yourself a pat on the back, because we all need one now and then. Sometimes it goes unnoticed. So just help us out a little, because I missed that completely until she just brought it up. But we'd love to share that with the public, that you're doing a great job. And it definitely helps them feel more connected to their local council. So thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else for Mr. Campbell? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is our city administrator report. Administrator Graceland.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm going to be very brief with my report, but as always, you have a copy, and if you have questions, feel free to ask those. The Art Center, of course, as you know, is complete with the exception of a few punch list items. We are still waiting on all of the exterior doors, which will be replaced. So if anyone asked you, why'd you do this beautiful renovation and the exterior doors still look raggedy, you can let them know that it's a supply chain issue and they are coming. Along the lines of the Art Center, I did want to mention that we have posted the job notice for the Art Center manager, and we will be accepting applications through April 15th, and we've received a couple of very impressive ones, so that's a good sign. I think we're going to find a fabulous person to fill that role for us. The tater shed restoration is complete. The barn doors have been installed, so I would urge you all to go over there and take a look at it. It looks fantastic. And it will be, since we're going to be breaking ground much later this year than we had originally thought on city park improvements and the municipal complex, we are going to make that available for rental through October. So if you know anyone who is interested in that, you can point them to the staff over at the Senior and Activity Center. They will be handling the scheduling and rentals for that. Along the lines of the municipal complex, I don't want to belabor that. I'll just tell you that the schematic is essentially complete, and the architect is going to be here at our next business meeting to show you what it looks like. So that will be very good for you all to see that. And at the Senior and Activity Center, our renovation project with the community room and the outdoor space is moving really quickly. Originally, we thought that completion would be October. Now they are looking at June 30th for completion. So we're very excited about that. You've seen we've had some concert announcements at CCMB Amphitheater. There will be more coming, but I think so far they're off to a good start with those as well. We've had four shows scheduled thus far, and that's included in the report. So I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Administrator Grayson? Councilmember Hutchings.
I just want to say that I have been in touch with Sandy Cullen with the Harmony Garden relocation, and Roddy has been coordinating that with me a little bit and helping them try to make that transition. They seem to be very happy so far with the way that's going. They need help, though, as far as volunteers and donations. I think they've lost their main sponsor from last year. So if anyone has any suggestions there, I've been trying to get word out as far as volunteers go, and possibly one of the Hillcrest ball teams might be able to help out with some of the planning and so forth. But I think it's going to be a good location. I went over there and looked at the area, and the boxes are just starting to come in, and I think it's going to be a good spot for us. So.
Thank you. Yes, our staff will be building the raised beds for planting. We've already put in the request for the meter for Regal Water for irrigation for that site. Along those same lines, as you all know, I'll just remind you, we are completely redoing College Street Park. So the emphasis where it was before a practice field for baseball, that is changing. That's where the new pickleball courts will be constructed, and also Harmony Gardens. There'll still be a playground there for children, but we are looking at transitioning that park to those new uses.
Are there questions or comments for Administrator Grayson? Okay, I noted in your report that the fiscal year 21 financial audit was completed, and the city ended the fiscal year with a $1.6 million surplus, of which 75% is going into the capital projects fund for future capital needs. That surplus was a result of higher than expected revenues, but also expenditures under budget. And so I just want to commend city staff for watching your spending. It's a very good thing for the city. So thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else for Administrator Grayson? All right, hearing none, I will just remind members of council that the other department heads are here. If there are any comments or questions for them, they are kind enough to spend their evening with us. All right, thank you. Moving on to the business items. One item, 7A, discussion of the Art Center renovation of gymnasium. Administrator Gracely, will you summarize, please?
I will. Thank you, Mayor. I guess you've all heard the old adage, if you give someone an inch, they'll take a mile. So I'm trying to take a mile here. You know, you allocated the money for the renovation of the Art Center, and it's so beautiful that we just want to keep it going. I'm sure you all have been in that gymnasium space, and it is stunning as is. But there's no HVAC in there, you know, the bleachers, the paint's peeling. The old locker rooms are of no use the way they're laid out now. So I did ask DP3, who's been our architect on the Art Center renovation project, to take a look at it. They called their mechanical engineer and their electrical engineer over to look at the space. We all met over there and walked through it and talked about how we'd like to use the space. The idea basically is that we have this beautiful auditorium that can be great event space for things outside of Milltown when Milltown's not using it for their productions. And then if the gymnasium were renovated and had central heat in there, that would be great space for events as well. And perhaps the two could even work together. I could envision a wedding in the auditorium with a reception in the gymnasium. Among many other things. And so they put together a proposal for their fees to do the architectural design, the electrical engineering, and the mechanical engineering. We would, if council approves this, once DP3 has completed, we would just ask Central Interiors, who's currently our contractor, to go back to their subs and just incorporate that work in so we could eliminate a bid process and we could get the work done more quickly. As you know, one of the acceptable items that you can spend money on through ARPA is air quality. And, you know, putting central HVAC in that gymnasium would certainly qualify. So I would anticipate that outside of the professional fees, which you see in this proposal, the bulk of the expense that we would incur renovating that gymnasium would come from ARPA funds. Ms. Farino and I have been working furiously on the FY23 budget, which we will present to you at next month's committee of the whole. Next month's committee of the whole. I'm a little confused about what day it is. In that, we've already reserved a line item for renovation costs for the gymnasium. So we were able to make that work. Just to let you know, I know you've not seen the budget proposal, you've not approved anything yet, but just to let you know, between ARPA funds and some available hospitality tax funding, we can accomplish the remaining renovation of that building. So what I'm asking for tonight is for this to go before council at next month's business meeting to approve the design fees so that we can get the architect and the electrical and mechanical engineers started on those construction drawings.
Thank you. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, Council, I move that council approve discussion of Art Center renovation of gymnasium.
Second. A motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Councilmember Roche.
I noticed the comment about the ADA access not being included necessarily. Mm-hmm. Do we have that for the other end of the Art Center?
Yes, so the building is ADA compliant. The gymnasium is difficult because of the restrooms. You can get into the gymnasium fine, you just can't get to the restrooms in the corridor space without going back outside. So you can get to it, you just have to go back outside of the building. And we talked about that when we were on site and we said, you know, should we try to build some sort of ramp? But the problem is all of the bleachers would have to go and then the ramp would come pretty far out onto the gymnasium floor to make it work. When there is an accessible path, you just go back out and around to the ADA accessible entrance to the corridor, to the restrooms, and then back around again. It's not ideal, but it is, you know, the building is compliant in its current state right now.
Do we have seating set aside for wheelchair or special needs access in the auditorium?
We do. Yes. The space on either side of the sound booth and the auditorium is our ADA seating.
Okay. So if someone in need would be attending an event in the gymnasium, they would have to go outside and re-enter at the other end?
Right, from the other door. Unfortunately, there's no way to get there. About three risers that go down into the gymnasium, it sits lower than the rest of the building. And it's just, we looked at the thought of, can we put a lift in? Should we look at a ramp? But it's really cost prohibitive and not very aesthetically pleasing to have to, and you would eat up, like I said, a lot of the floor space with a ramp because of the way it would have to, you have to have those switchbacks. So there is a way to get to the restroom. It's just not the shortest distance.
I assume because of the historical nature, then
yes,
we wouldn't be forced by law to make that accessible there at the gym, right?
Correct. And you don't have to have the best path for ADA accessibility. You just have to have a path. And so the restrooms are accessible. The corridor is accessible. All of the sidewalks leading into that middle entrance, which is the ADA entrance. That's another one that is not currently accessible, which is why we're not using the building, because we're waiting on those exterior doors. When those doors arrive, that center piece now, it's double doors, that will come out and it will actually be a single door with skylights. So that will be the accessible entrance.
And then are we redoing the locker rooms? Because I didn't see those in the scope of the project.
We're not doing, so the locker room, they mentioned the catering kitchen. The locker room will become a catering kitchen with a warming oven and sink and some counter space.
So is that the best use of that space, considered a gymnasium, will also be used for volleyball like it has historically?
I don't think we would use it for volleyball any longer. I think it would be an event space.
I mean, would it be better to have locker rooms available for sporting events?
The lockers are no longer there anyway. They've all been torn out over the years. They're not in there. It's just an empty room. So there are two empty rooms that were male, female locker rooms. One is not really available for anything because that's where the fire suppression equipment is. And it takes up about half that space. So we're just looking at one of the former locker rooms as a catering kitchen.
Just a matter of opinion, personal opinion. I would like to see the gym renovation be ADA compliant. I just think that's super important that, you know, we be accessible at that end as well. And I understand, you know, what you're saying about the risers and stuff, but the overall scope of the project, I'm kind of wondering if there aren't, and you are the queen of grants, I'm wondering if we can't get an ADA grant or use some funding for projects such as we've done in the senior center.
So community development block grant can be used for ADA accessibility without regard to income. You know how typically when we use CDBG for projects, it's income based. And so it, you know, would not qualify in that building particularly. However, because it would be ADA compliance, it could be. Now, I will tell you that we also are working on some ADA compliance renovations at CCMB Amphitheater, and my plan is to use CBG money out there at that venue to do those. And that one is a little more pressing because we've had some issues that we need to correct, and so it would be a couple of years before we would build that funding up to a level to be able to use it again. So I don't know of any other funding outside of that. We're not eligible to apply for CDBG funding through the Department of Commerce and the Small Cities Program because we take part in Greenville County's entitlement allocation. So, you know, you have to choose one or the other. And you know, the thought of getting steady money each year is more appealing than whether or not you get a grant funded, because that's never a guarantee. So, I don't think that would be a possibility right now for this project, but that's something perhaps in the future, you know, after 2 or 3 years, and we say we really want to make it easier and we want to have a shorter path for people, you know, in wheelchairs or with mobility issues to get to the restroom. So we could look at making those improvements at a later time. I don't think we would need an architect or an engineer to do that. That would be a pretty simple design. It's just a matter of, is it really an appealing look for that space is the main thing.
I was just thinking along the lines of, you mentioned as a wedding or reception mm-hmm. venue, where you have people of all ages, as well as the sporting events, you know, grandmothers and grandfathers
right.
that come, and, you know, getting to a restroom far away is not an easy thing. So.
Well, one thing we could look at, I'm not sure from a plumbing standpoint if it would work, but we can, this would be the time to take a look at it. In the room where the riser is for the fire suppression, there may be enough room to just put a single handicap restroom or family restroom in that space, because about half of the floor space is taken up with all of the, you know, piping and, but there would perhaps be some space in there for that. So we could maybe make that work. We'll take a look at it and see. The other side would not be ADA compliant either, because you actually step down into the other side. It's got a grade change too, where we're looking at putting the catering kitchen. It would not work because we looked at that too. But the other side is up to grade where the fire suppression equipment is. So we'll take a look at that.
Councilmember Houlihan.
I actually have a point of order that I should have said something about earlier, but I didn't want to interrupt the discussion. I'm feeling well under the weather. But the motion, and I'm asking because I need some clarification for myself on what we're being asked to vote on, because the motion was to approve the discussion of the art center renovation. And I don't think you can have a motion to approve a discussion. And Ms. Gracely, I think, asked us specifically to approve design fees, but not the whole what's budgeted in here, because part of that's going to be budgeted in the FY23 budget. What you're actually asking us to approve tonight after this discussion is some amount of design fees.
Correct. Just the proposal that you have in front of you for the design fees, so that we can get those folks started on construction drawings.
And that's this $58,800.
Correct.
Okay.
So I agree with your point of order. Councilmember Roche, would you be willing to amend the motion?
Absolutely. I amend the motion and change it to council. Let's see. I motion that council approve the design fees as proposed in the agenda.
Second.
Same council members approve, moving and seconding, Councilmember Roche and Councilmember Hutchings. All right.
Ms. Roche, could you repeat that, please?
Yes. I motion that council approve the design fees as proposed on the agenda for the renovations of the gymnasium.
Any other council members have discussion? Councilmember Hutchings.
I too would like to see us pursue the ADA bathroom if possible. I think that's almost a requirement now with public spaces. This is not exactly in relation to this particular thing, but what is the status of the classrooms at this point? Are they habitable?
Oh,
as far as art studios
definitely.
And stuff at this point?
Yeah, so, you know, when we did the initial renovation of the building, we did new windows in the entire building, and we did HVAC in the entire building with the exception of the gymnasium due to cost. So we got a lot of bang for our buck with our initial renovation. Pretty much the only space that didn't get touched other than the windows was the gymnasium. And so that's why now we're asking to go back and take a look at the gymnasium, design the enhancements that we need to make that space usable. And then, of course, council will have final say on the dollar amount that gets spent on that. Once we know, we have a better idea of what that is. We'll put some money in the budget. Some will be ARPA. We do have a capital projects account, as the mayor alluded to earlier. So there are, you know, various sources of revenue that we can use to fund those improvements.
And this person that we hire as the arts center manager would be charged with renting those spaces out, I guess.
And, correct.
And if this other renovation occurs, that space as well, though.
Yes.
In this space.
Yes. The space is somewhat usable now if you have a mild day, but I was in there Monday afternoon, and it was not terribly hot outside, but it was hot in that gym. So I think it's going to be very limited use until we get some climate control in there.
I agree. I spent an Oktoberfest in there one year, and it was very hot.
All right, I will add my comments to the pile here. Regarding the historic nature of the gymnasium and the interior of the gymnasium, based on my recent experience with residents and their tremendous commitment to historic buildings in the city of Simpsonville, I'm speaking of the Tater Shed, and how animated they get, I think it is extremely important that we do everything we possibly can to preserve the historic look of the interior of that gymnasium, including hanging on to the bleachers. It was mentioned multiple times when we had the opening of the Art Center by people who were there. They wanted to see the, you know, what's the gymnasium look? You haven't torn up the gymnasium, have you? It came up from a former mayor. Please make sure you preserve the historic nature of that space. So anything we do in there, putting in AC or that kind of thing, is extremely important that we preserve that. And that following on to that, from an ADA standpoint, I have had family members that I have personally pushed around in wheelchairs. I also have a son who is disabled, although not, you know, from a physical accommodation standpoint. So I have experience with this, and I will say that the distance between that gymnasium, even though you must go outside, and the restrooms, is shorter than it is to get from the back of Walmart up to the restrooms. Way shorter. And as far as, oh, well, you've got to go outside, well, it's shorter than the distance from the handicapped parking spaces in the parking lot of Walmart to the restrooms. So I don't think that it's asking a lot for, in an order of preserving the nature of the building, to avoid tearing up the historic nature of the building to accommodate people in wheelchairs. But if it's possible to find space that's on the same level as that gymnasium without doing that, I'm totally in support of that. So maybe where the fire risers are or something like that. I think that's good. So that's my comments. Any further comments or discussion? Okay. I'm going to look at your notes here. So on the motion to, where is it there? On the motion to approve the design fees as proposed on the agenda for the renovation of the gymnasium, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? No. Passes unanimously. And at this time, we are proposing to go into executive session for the discussion of performance of the employees in the administration department. Coming out of executive session, council may vote on items discussed in executive session. The motion is in order. Councilmember Houlihan.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to move that council go into executive session for the discussion of the performance of employees in the administration department. Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second from Councilmember Roche. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed signify by saying no. Carries unanimously. At this time, Simpsonville City Council will go into executive session for the purpose of discussion of the performance of employees in the administrative department. Following that executive session, we may come out of session and return to public session to vote on items discussed in executive session. Thank you.